Opportunity to spend a little bit of time this morning talking politics, and particularly as we get set for the June primary for state House district races. And I think it's no big surprise Earl Sears is leaving his seat open. He is term limited, so it is an open seat. And Mr. Fincher in this morning to help me. Do I address you as Dr. Fincher or Mr. or...
Very few people address me as Dr. Fincher. When I go to visit my wife's class, she always introduces me as the other Dr. Fincher. But, you know, Daryl's what people call me.
Oh, so. That works for me. Thank you so much for coming in. And just first of all, for any candidate, the first time we get to talk on the air, one of the basic questions is, and I say this with a smile on my face, why would anybody volunteer for such a long job interview?
It took a while to actually get to that point. And here's what happened. So over the past few several years, I kept, you know, Oklahoma's been kind of on a downward path, and yet the economy's been growing. I kept waiting for somebody to stand up and say, okay, this is what we have to do. But people would stand up and say, well, this is what we have to do, but their solutions didn't make sense in how they were doing. I kept waiting, and finally I realized I had to stand up and do it myself. And so it took me a while. I actually had to quit my job in order to be able to run, because I couldn't run for office while I was still employed.
Right.
And so I had to quit my job, and here I am, standing up for those who can't stand up, who maybe don't have time, they've got jobs, they have families to support. And I can't claim to speak for everybody, but I'm here to listen.
Well, and I think that's one thing that any elected official, particularly if the name is representative, then that kind of makes sense along the way.
Yes.
Background, I know some about you. Obviously, there's that alphabet soup after your name, PhD. So somewhere along the line, you know something about education.
I actually know quite a bit about education, yet education is my second career. My first career was in engineering. Got my degree from Oklahoma State University as a mechanical engineer. I went out and worked in the oil fields here. Matter of fact, our daughter was born up in Woodward. You know, I was out there getting my hands greasy, working those 9 days on, 3 days off. Stayed with that company for 15 years, which also included a stint in Japan working on first-in-the-world tools leading a development project.
Okay.
If you've never worked on first-in-the-world stuff that nobody else has ever done, it's amazing. Ended up a teacher. Subbing in front of a bunch of sixth grade students for math, and it's like, that's a much longer story to get into here, but it's like, why haven't I done this before? My wife would always suggest I should try teaching, because she's been a teacher, you know, she's been a teacher since we met as freshmen in college. And I loved it. I ended up getting certified, and then I wanted to find out more about teaching, so I got another degree. I had 2 degrees in engineering now, but I got another degree in educational technology for teaching on top of my certification. And then I ended up going back, and I really wanted help more than could be in my classroom or than could be in my school, which is why I went back to get a doctorate in education.
Okay. Well, that's a similar reason why my wife got her master's in administration. But,
yeah.
Kind of wanted to be the person up in front of the orchestra, let's do it my way.
Yeah. Well, not so much let's do it my way, but let's support everybody in moving forward. Let's talk to them about what education is going to look like. How do we educate students for their future and not our past? And this is sometimes what's missing in the conversation about funding is, what's education going to look like? I have grandkids. They're going to go to school here in Bartlesville. And I want excellent education not only for them, but for their children and for their grandchildren.
And so certainly that there is no elected job, I think, anywhere in the state, legislative or probably even executive branch, that the conversation is not going to turn to schools, school funding, planning for schools. So let's go ahead and go there, and then we can talk about a few other things. School funding, we're kind of a twofold question, at least this year, raising the salary of the individual teacher, however he or she may fall on a pay scale, but then also the aggregate dollars for schools so that more teachers can be hired to bring the quantity back up to what it was at some past level, and also as the number of students in the school continue to grow, get more teachers.
Yeah, and that's correct. And the first step was actually trying to get a pay raise. I'm a certified Oklahoma teacher. I chose not to teach in Oklahoma because the pay just wasn't there. Past few years, I've actually been working with schools, libraries, and healthcare, but primarily schools throughout the state, helping them implement and upgrade the technology that they have and that they use for students. And so I've talked with many, many rural schools. And one of my concerns has come down to, even with the pay raise, how are we going to support those rural schools? They're having trouble attracting teachers who will actually move down there. You know, when you're 40, 50 minutes from basically any place, you know, talk to one superintendent down in the southwestern portion of the state, it's like, you know, it's an hour to the nearest Walmart. How are we going to support those? How are we going to help bring those up? So we have those funding challenges as well. But we also need to provide more funding for what's going on in the schools. We've cut funding tremendously, and we're not even close to where we were before.
Right now, the state pay scale is a state minimum pay school. Mm-hmm. But in fact, the de facto minimum, more often than not, is the maximum. Is it time to rethink how we do that, how we pay, you know, look at a teacher payroll as far as if we're comparing ourselves to Texas, to Colorado, to whatever neighboring state we happen to be close neighbors with? For us, it would be Kansas. Do we look at things differently as far as how we pay teachers? Redesigning the pay scale, so to speak, so that local school boards, for instance, Bartlesville, Caney, somebody close to a state line has the flexibility to say, we need physics teacher in Copan. Can we somehow boost this job, science teachers, math teachers, so that we have the flexibility to do that?
You know, and I understand that question. And by the way, I am certified for all levels of mathematics in Oklahoma. I've been a math teacher. I mentioned being in front of the math class. A couple of degrees in engineering will actually get you there, on top of learning how to teach, which is another story.
It is another story entirely.
That's another story entirely.
Well, a line from The King and I, as a teacher, by your students, you will be taught.
Exactly. But in terms of the actual pay scale itself, I have struggled with that one, and I'm still of two minds. One thing I will tell you is I make my decision based on evidence. I am of two minds because while math and science may be harder to get, they're inherently no more necessary for students to know than how to read, how to perform, how to play an instrument. These are all things that are very valuable that we need to have. And I'd be very concerned about some of the implications of having disparate pay scales along those lines. It's something I'm struggling with. I still need to look into it more.
Yeah, and it's just a question nationally, because certain things, I'll take a chemistry teacher because we employ chemists in town. for that same, I don't care, master's degree in chemistry, do they work in a school or do they work for a private employer?
And that's one of the challenges is what are they actually, the very dramatic difference that we have in pay for those. At the same time, teaching is not something that everybody can do, and it's not something that necessarily comes naturally. I know a lot of people think it does. You go into a classroom, we all have the common experience of having sat in a classroom. It's like, oh, gee, I could do that.
Point of view is important.
Point of view is very important.
Some of the other things that I'm sure are of interest to you, and we could spend the entire 15 minutes on that topic, but I feel like I need to move on and get listeners to get to know you in other ways. Just looking at some of the other challenges that are in front of the state, highways, prisons, there are other issues of interest, and I want to kind of look at some of those with you as well. Highway funding, same sort of thing. Much of it comes from that little tax we pay at the pump. There are other state dollars, but there are all kinds of other things that fund highways. Do we continue to fund those with what I guess I can say an associated user fee? We buy gasoline, therefore it pays for some part of roads.
I actually am pretty in agreement with that. They do become user fees. The more you use it, the tax pays for it. Now, one of the things that we also have to look at in that is, our cars are getting a whole lot more efficient than they ever were before. I have a relative that was able to go out and buy a Tesla. It's like, whoa, I wish I could buy one.
Not using a whole lot of that fuel.
That's right. And so as we go down, we're going to be having to look at, well, how do we actually support these? Because regardless of what you use to power that, whether it's electricity that you got from wind or whatever, you're still doing some degradation to the road every time a car passes over it. So yes, we're going to need to be looking at how we fund the transportation infrastructure that we have.
And then other necessary functions, law enforcement and everything that kind of goes along with that highway usage.
Yes, and we've got to be able to fund all of that appropriately.
Corrections. There was a move last general election to reduce some of the criminal penalties so that we end up... The idea was to send few people to prison or for a shorter period of time. Whether that works out, time only will tell us. But corrections certainly is another area that requires public funding.
It requires public funding, and we also have to look at how we're doing corrections. Right now, we are underfunded and we're over capacity. That's wrong. It doesn't lead to rehabilitation. I know there, I know there's a portion of the population that believes in punishment only and not into rehabilitation. I believe we owe it to the people we put in prison and to the citizens of Oklahoma to try to develop everybody into being a productive citizen. So prison should also be rehabilitative, and we should focus on how do we help rehabilitation. And for many low-level crimes, which is what happened in the past, is we were actually... for the low-level crimes, we were actually reducing the sentences because it turns out that keeping them in an expensive facility isn't necessarily, actually often is not as effective for them as reintegrating them in the community with supervision, which costs the state less, and it gives the supports to those and reduces the recidivism rate.
Just being accessible as a representative, as the job title, it requires a certain amount of availability, whether it's town hall meetings, whether it's just being being seen in the grocery store, so to speak, so that people can stop you and talk about that. Any particular plan, strategy to remain connected to the voter?
Yes. I will be holding the town halls as we go around. Actually, Earl has done a very good job of that with his Friday meetings. Now, that's a very small portion already available then. But at the same time, because not everybody can get to those town halls, one of the things I'm a fan of is obviously having a background, deep background in technology, is staying connected through technology for those who can't actually come and see me in person. On my push cards, I have my phone number. I tell people, it rings right here in my pocket. And I was down walking, knocking on doors, and my phone rang, and it was a guy I talked to about 20 minutes before, asking if I could come back and bring a sign. So, yes, there are any number of ways to be connected. I intend to stay connected.
And I just kind of an aside on that, that does at least give you a maybe not scientific, but certainly a survey that you can connect along the way. And I'm assuming maybe even push a question out there through technology.
Oh, absolutely. Push out surveys and other ways to be able to ask people and get their ideas. Just a bit about me when I think about things. I use evidence. I'm not an ideologue. I am willing with new evidence to change my mind, that there's something about doing deep studies and having to write a dissertation that really gets you into the point where you have no pride of ownership over these ideas that just form. You need evidence. You need to connect your what you're thinking to the broader human experience. And so when people come to me, it's another piece that I think about. And it can just be a comment somebody makes that helps me think about something a little bit differently. So yes, the more people that can talk to me, the better off we are.
Well, again, we're talking with Darrell Fincher, talking about his candidacy for the June Republican primary. And I want to make sure that I get any information, email and website information out there so that people can connect with you through other means than just what you and I are doing right now.
Yes. Well, my website is fincher4house.org.
Is that the number four or the F-O-R?
F-O-R, but I've set it up so that even if you put in the number 4, you get there. If you put in a fincher4house.com, it will still take you there. Yeah, I know a bit about making that happen. My email is daryl@fincher4house.org. Once again, my name is, believe it or not, I'm a no A 2E 2R 1L Daryl. But if you misspell my name with one of the common ways, I'm likely to get that as well. And, of course, the phone number, 918-328-2030, rings right in my pocket.
Okay. And, of course, I know of at least one forum that is being sponsored, and I want to give people opportunity to be there and hear from you on that.
Absolutely. That's the one on May 22nd with the Bartlesville Public Schools, League of Women Voters. I believe that's...
They're working on. I wasn't sure they had a firm date yet.
I believe that was June 12th.
Okay.
And then the Green Country's Republican Women's Club is doing something on June 18th, and
yes,
I'll be at all of those.
All right. So opportunities to hear from the candidate. And we'll do it again real soon.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
Darrell Fincher with us this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload.